نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is the fadl and the grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us life. He has kept us alive to benefit from the barakat and the blessings of the month of Zilhajj. This is a very great bounty and a very great ni'mat from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ. Value five things before five things. And one of the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, حَيَاتُكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Value, appreciate your life before death overtakes you. Last year, this time, there were so many people that used to live with us, they were alive. And this year, they're already gone. What guarantee do we have that next year, this time, we will be living? This may be our last Zilhajj. This may be our last Eid al-Adha. Value the life, value the barakat and the blessings of the month of Zilhajj, and do all those things that Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do in the month of Zilhajj. This is a very great month, a very, very auspicious month. In one hadith, it is narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحْ فِيهِنَّا حَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِي الْعَيَّامِ الْعَشَرَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there is no days in which pious deeds, amal salih, good pious deeds, are more beloved to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala than the 10 days of Zilhajj. The way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed this, sahaba had a doubt. Because in their minds, jihad fi sabilillah was very, very great. So they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walal jihad fi sabilillah? Doing a'mal salih, good deeds, performing our salah, making zikr, making tilawat, making dua, giving sadaqah and charity, these are good virtuous deeds. Are these deeds in the 10 days of Zilhajj even more virtuous than jihad fi sabilillah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. In one hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ma min ayyamin ahabbu ila Allah ay yuta'abbada lahu fiha min ashari dhil hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there are no days in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala like to be worshipped more than in the 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa further mentioned, يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِصِيَامِ سَنَةٍ وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Fasting in each one of these 10 days of Dhul Hajj. This is from the first to the ninth, obviously not on the 10th, because the 10th is a day of Eid. So fasting in these days, the reward of it is equivalent to fasting for an entire year. What a bonus from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And staying up little while at night, making the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala during these nights, the reward of it is equivalent to making ibadat in Laylatul Qadr. When the month of Ramadan comes, the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, we go on a spiritual high, we go out in search for Laylatul Qadr. Here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned, the reward in these days, that is even more greater than the reward of ibadat in Laylatul Qadr. So So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat to value these days and to exert ourselves in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One poet, he very beautifully mentions it, inna lil insani safaran, safarun fid dunya wa safarun minad dunya. A human being has two journeys. What is this journey in this world? You travel from one city to another city, one continent to another continent, one country to another country, and one is a journey from this world to the akhirat. He further mentions, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Take your provisions, and the greatest provision is taqwa. When a person undertakes a journey in this world, in order to avoid inconvenience of the journey, he will take his provisions with him. This is the provision we take whilst we are in this world, we're traveling in this world. What about that long, arduous journey toward the qabr and the akhirat? It's a journey till eternity. How much more provision did we require for that? And therefore, these amal-e-salih that we do, these will serve as our provisions in the qabr and our akhirat. One of the greatest acts of ibadat during the first 10 days of Dhul-Hajj, especially on the day of Eid, 10th, 11th and 12th is qurbani. Sacrificing an animal. Now the word qurbani is a very common word we hear it all the time. It is also mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us the incident of the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. In order to establish humanity and mankind on earth, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala permitted the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, the brother to marry the sister from a different birth. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam had two sons, one was Qabil, one was Habil. Qabil was supposed to marry Habil's sister, Habil was supposed to marry Qabil's sister. But Qabil was not agreeing to this because Habil's sister was not as good looking as his own sister, so he wanted to marry his own sister of the same birth. The matter came to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, tell both of them to make qurbani, offer a sacrifice. And both of them presented the sacrifice to see who is on haqq, who is on right. So Allah says, فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنَ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of the two, Habil's sacrifice was accepted, Qabil's sacrifice was not accepted. So the word qurbani, sacrifice, it has a basis in the Quran Kareem. On the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, we sacrifice an animal. The background and the base of that is the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahaba, was asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is narrated from Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya rasulallah, ma hadihi al-udhahi. Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is this qurbani, this sacrifices that we make, what is the base of it? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is a sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He made this great sacrifice. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala rewarded him. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had kept the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam alive till eternity in the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا. We sacrifice an animal, what will we get in that? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. For every hay on the animal, you'll get an ajr and reward. So Sahaba asked, Fasuf ya Rasulallah, what if it is a sheep? And there is so much of wool on it, so what will the reward for that be? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, in exchange of every fiber on the sheep, your person will be rewarded for that. So great opportunities for us to earn the pleasure and the reward of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As far as sacrificing animals are concerned, it was the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would create the momentum. before Eid al-Adha. He would talk about the fazail, talk about the virtue of sacrificing an animal. He would encourage the Sahaba to purchase animal to sacrifice. If Sahaba were poor, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make arrangements to get the animal and give it to a Sahaba so that they could sacrifice the animal, so that an environment of qurbani, an environment of sacrifice is being created. The third animal are concerned, and the masail of qurbani are concerned, there are two aspects of it. One is regarding the individual that is going to sacrifice the animal. And the other are masail and laws pertaining to the animal itself. Far as the individual is concerned, qurbani sacrifice is wajib upon a Muslim who is an adult, who is a muqeem, non-traveler, and a person who is a sahibe nisab. He owns the nisab of zakat on the 10th, 11th, 12th of Zil Hajj. Now each one of these conditions are vital, and let me take one, explain each one of them. Obviously we are talking to Muslims, so there's no such thing as qurbani for non-Muslims. Qurbani is compulsory upon an adult, which means a minor, even though he may have enough wealth, he is exempt from the obligation of qurbani. If a minor person, who is a minor, he's got wealth, equivalent to nisab and more than that, there's no qurbani on him, no qurbani on his wealth. An adult is that person who has experienced physical maturity before the age of 15. Or in the case of a female, if she attained puberty before the age of 15. And if by the age of 15, whether it's a male or a female, they did not attain physical maturity or puberty, Shariat would declare the person to be an adult by the age of 15. So by the age of 15, if a boy or a girl got his own wealth, he may not be married, maybe staying with a parent, but he's got his own wealth, then qurbani and sacrifice is wajib upon such a person. Second, qurbani is wajib upon a muqeem, a non-traveler. Now if a person is undertaking a journey of 48 miles or more, and he is staying in a place for lesser than 15 days, he's a musafir, in principle there's no qurbani on that person. If he wishes to do qurbani, that's well and good. But as a principle, he's exempt from that obligation. If for whatever reason he does not want to do qurbani, then he does not have to do qurbani and there's no sin upon him. Commonly asked question is, sometimes people go for Hajj. And if a person is in Makkatul Mukarrama, he went for Hajj and he's staying in Makkatul Mukarrama for 15 days and more. Although he's in a foreign country, he went for Hajj, but he stayed there in Makkatul Mukarrama is that of a muqeem. In other words, if he has to read Salat by himself, he has to perform 4 rakat Salah, then Qurbani is wajib upon him. Now, this Qurbani that a Haji will make there, he may be a South African, but he is there in Makkatul Mukarrama, the Qurbani that he is going to make there, one is Qurbani of Eid al-Adha, but that is apart from the Qurbani and sacrifice of Hajj. If a person is making the Mattu Hajj, or if a person is making Qiran Hajj, that is Umrah and Hajj together, whether it is from one ihram or two different ihrams, then the person will have to sacrifice an animal. That is a different type of sacrifice that is called Dhamay Shukr. Then, qurbani is wajib upon a person who is a sahibe nisab. A person who's got wealth that makes the person zakatable. He has this wealth on the 10th, on the 11th, and the 12th of Dhul Hajj. Now the difference between the nisab for qurbani and the nisab for zakat is, that in the case of zakat, the person must have that wealth for one entire year. Hawlane hawl. 1 year must pass over it. But in the case of qurbani, if you got that zakatable amount, which is excess, if you got no liability, it's absolutely excess, and you have it on the 10th or 11th or 12th of Zil Hajj, then qurbani will become wajib upon you. Now, the nisab is, in terms of silver, it is 612.35 grams of silver. Now, 1 gram of silver, according to yesterday's calculation, was 898. You multiply that by 612.35, it comes to 5,499 rand. So approximately 5,500 rand, if a person has this on the 10th, 11th or 12th of Zilhajj, and it is free of any liability, completely excess, Qurbani will become wajib upon him. Then you also have a nisab of gold, which is 87.48 grams of gold. Now 1 gram of gold is 615 rand. You multiply that by 87.48, it comes to 53,800 rands. Now the principle is, if a person got only silver, then you'll use the silver as a measure for nisab. And if the silver is equivalent to 5,499 rand, Qurbani will become wajib. If a person has only gold, for example, woman got jewelry, necklace, earrings, or the different type of jewelry they may have, anything is equivalent to 53,800 rand, and that's the only jewelry she had, not silver, only this, then this will become the measure for her to determine her Qurbani. And if they got both of it, silver and gold, then you use silver as a measure of Qurbani. That means what is beneficial for the fuqara, for the poor person, if a person got silver, that is more cheaper, Qurbani will become wajib upon him. And if a person does not have both of it, no silver, he does not even have gold, but he's got only cash. But if the cash is equivalent to the minimum nisab of silver, that is approximately 5,500 rand, Qurbani will become wajib about that individual. Now, as far as animals are concerned, there are three types of animals. One is the camel, cow, and sheep. These are the animals that you make qurbani of. The camel will have to be 5 years old. Now, here in South Africa, we normally don't do, and those people that did last year or the year before, they had some problems and some run-ins with the SPCA. But as a principle, it is that the animal must be, the camel must be 5 years old. Cow, it must be at least 2 years old. If it is lesser than 2 years, the qurbani of the cow will not be valid. And in the case of the sheep, it must be 1 year old. And if it is a lamb, or if it is lesser than 1 year, 6 months and more. And it looks like a 1 year old, if it's in the, if it's within the 1 year, you cannot differentiate them, it looks like a 1 year old, then you can make qurbani of such animals. One of the conditions for sacrificing an animal is, the limbs of the animal must be sound. The eyes, the ears, the tails, the legs, they all must be sound. And this is based on the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an nastashrifa al-ayn wal-uzn. Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, that we should ensure the eyes of the animal are sound and the ears of the animal are sound. And by extension, the fuqaha also spoke about the tail. And the principle is that all these limbs, at least 2/3 of it must be sound. That means if there is the maximum of 1/3 defect will be tolerated. But if it is more than 1/3, then such an animal cannot be sacrificed. If more than 1/3 of it is blind, or 1/3 of the ear is cut, or more than 1/3 of the ear is cut, or more than 1/3 of the tail is cut, then the sacrifice of such animal is not permissible. Yes, of course, many years ago, there was a situation in South Africa where the farmers would dock all the tails of the animal. And at that time, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, he sent a questionnaire to Darul Uloom Deoband. I had a site of that particular fatwa. And in there, a leeway was given to sacrifice an animal without a tail within that particular context. In our environment and in our context now, animals with tails are found in plenty as much as possible. And this is an emphasized thing by the fuqaha, by the ulama. This is a great act of qurbani, a great act of ibadat. We should try to avoid a doubtful situation and do whatever is the correct and whatever is the right thing to do. The day of qurbani, when the animals will be sacrificed, on the 10th, 11th and 12th. The 10th, it is the day of Eid, One day after the day of Eid, and then the second day after the day of Eid, 3 days will be for sacrificing the animal. And the time for sacrificing will be in a place where the Eid Salat is being performed. In a town, in a city, wherever Eid Salat is performed, or wherever Jummah takes place, the sacrifice of the animal can take place only after the Eid Salat is performed. Even if one Eid Salat is performed in that particular town, and if people sacrifice that animal will be permissible. But if in a town or city, if people sacrifice an animal before the first Eid Salat of that particular town, that Qurbani, that sacrifice will be invalid. Yes, of course, in villages where there's no Eid Salah, no Jummah, there after Subah Sadiq, the Qurbani can be made, and the Qurbani then will be valid. Now the procedure of slaughtering an animal is very, very important. And the validity for the Qurbani is a person takes the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Before that, we should ensure that the animal is comfortable, or to the best of our ability to ensure that the animal is not inconvenienced in any way. Take all the necessary precautions. Don't sacrifice one animal in front of another animal. Sharpen the knife, all that. But with that, when the time comes to sacrifice the animal, then take the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala emphasizes this in two ways in the Quran Kareem. In a positive way, in a negative way. In a positive way, Allah says, Kulu mimma dhukira smullahi alayh. Eat from that upon which Allah's name has been taken. And then in a negative way, Allah says, Wala ta'akulu mimma lam yuskar ismullahi alayh. And don't eat from that animal upon which Allah's name is not taken. That shows how important it is the person that is sacrificing the animal to be very conscious of taking the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah created the animal. Allah created us. And the animal, the meat in the animal, the vitamins of the animal, many of it, is life is dependent on that to a great extent. And now we sacrifice that animal, consume that animal. How can we forget Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? We have to take the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and sacrifice the animal. Yet of course, sometimes in the state of excitement, if a person was slaughtering the animal, forgot to take the name of animal. He forgot to take the name of Allah Tabarak. He knew that he's supposed to take the name of Allah, but he forgot it. Completely forgot. He didn't leave it out deliberately out of excitement. He forgot. Now, that Qurbani will be valid. Yes, of course, if a person deliberately omitted the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that is a huge crime and that is a major sin. When slaughtering an animal, The procedure is, the person should say, read this dua, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Inna salati, my salat, wa nusuki, my sacrificing an animal, in the context of hajj, my af'al, actions of hajj, my living and my dying, everything is for Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah, there is no sharik to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And thereafter you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And according to some narration, we understand, before sacrificing the animal, think about this ni'mat and bounty of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and say, Allahumma minka walak. Oh Allah, this animal is from you. Nobody else could have given me the animal, but you created that animal. Allah, the sacrifice is only for you. Allah is from you, and it is only for you. So these are some of the adab and etiquette of sacrificing the animal. When sacrificing the animal, remember that the person, if you got experience in slaughtering the animal, you slaughter. If you don't have experience, don't take a chance. So, and sometimes you could inconvenience the animal. And one of the conditions is from the four veins of the animal, the jugular vein, the throat, the windpipe. Three of the four veins will have to be severed. If not four, then at least three of the four of the veins will have to be severed. After the animal has been sacrificed, animal has been slaughtered, the animal has cooled down, you skin the animal. Now, the meat of the animal, you could eat it all by for yourself. But adab and etiquette is at least 1/3 of the meat of the animal should be distributed through the poor, needy, or to anyone, friend, associate. You could give it to whoever you wish to do. Another important thing regarding sacrificing on animals, if anybody has, apart from the qurbani being compulsory upon you, if Allah has given financial means and ability to someone, then try to sacrifice an animal also on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also on behalf of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. In fact, in the hadith it comes, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slaughtered animals, and he made this dua that Allahumma taqabbal hadhi minni min Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa an ummati Muhammad. Oh Allah, accept the sacrifice of the animal on my behalf, on behalf of my family, and on behalf of my ummah. Now imagine you and I, each and every one of us, the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallam sacrificed an animal on behalf of you and I. Because the financial means and ability, then find it within yourself to also make the sacrifice and make some qurban, sacrifice an animal on behalf of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Important aspect of qurbani is the ayyamut tashriq. That is, tashriq actually refers to the drying of the meat. Now after sacrificing the animal on the 10th, 11th and 12th, on these 3 days, the Arabs, they would dry the meat and keep it stored for themselves. So the ayyamut tashriq, that is from the 9th till the 13th, all in all 5 days, 23 salat after every salah to read Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. When we pray, we glorify Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this is understood from the Quran Kareem in the context of sacrificing an animal. Where Allah speaks about sacrificing an animal, He says, كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has subordinated the animal to you. Such a big animal under your control. You can do whatever you want with that animal. Who could have made that possible but Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? Allah did that so you could think, you could apply your mind and you could praise and glorify Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And there's so many other ni'mats of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in the sacrificing of the animal. So in our context it will be from Sunday after Fajr till Thursday after Asr. 23 salats after every salat to recite this takbir. Whether you read the salat with jama'ah or whether you read the salat individually. Whether it's a male, whether it's a female. Everyone after every first salat will recite this takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Now I just want to point out some common mistakes and some common malpractices in qurbani. Now these points I've picked out is generally the Darul Ifta get these kind of questions, and I thought that I should highlight them, enumerate them, and we could then correct ourselves on some of these practices. Many organizations or many individuals, they advertise for qurbani animals in various newsletters, magazines, and because the general masses don't know the intricacies of qurbani, they just simply state there, phone in, or give in your order for that animal. So the order is given for the animal. Whoever is a recipient of that particular order would then order the animal, sacrifice that animal, whether he does it or not. But after the qurbani, after the days of Eid, now they claim for the money. From the masla point of view, the qurbani of such people is invalid. You sacrifice an animal that belongs to you, that is in your milkiyat, that is in your possession. You own the animal, you bought the animal. There was a bona fide, legitimate transaction of purchase and sale between you and the person that sold you the animal. So you bought that animal comes into your ownership. And now you sacrifice the animal. But if you simply place an order and you told somebody to sacrifice the animal, first, in many instances, there's no negotiation of the price. There's no legitimate, no bona fide purchase and sale transaction that took place. When the animal did not belong to you, how would the animal be sacrificed on your behalf? So therefore, this is a common practice, and very often this leads to many disputes. Generally, after Eid al-Adha, the Darul Ifta will receive these kind of questions, and now there's a dispute between the person who placed the order and the person who did the sacrifice. If he did claim that he did the sacrifice, the dispute is on the amount of money. The amount of money is secondary. The issue is on the legitimacy of the qurbani in the first place. We need to be very careful on that. How you conclude the transaction, the buying and selling of the animal is more important. It's a prerequisite before you could give the animal in for sacrifice. The second question we have, is it permissible when you purchase an animal of qurbani to pay with your credit card? Now if you have money in your credit card and you swipe the credit card or you made payment through a credit card, you have money in your bank, then that paying through the credit card will be valid. But if you don't have money in the credit card, it would then mean that and that animal has been paid for through the procedure of the credit card. That means that it was an interest-bearing loan. What's the point of doing one ibadat and then committing a sin simultaneously of an interest-bearing transaction? The third is, I've heard from many, many people, people that deal in buying and selling animals, and the observation of farmers that produce, that give the animals to these agents to sell these animals. So many people, they would take large number of animals from the farmers, and because it's large amounts of money, they would make arrangements with the farmers that after Eid al-Adha, after they sell the animal, they will pay the farmers their money. Many farmers say that up till today, thousands of rand, the monies have not been paid to us. Now, such an unfortunate situation, supposed to be an act of ibadat. But the issue then comes that people are buying animals from these people. Is that valid or not? Yes, it will be valid. But this person contracted a deal between him and the farmer. He bought it on credit. Now, if a person owned an animal, he bought it on credit, it is permissible for him to sell it to someone else. So between him, the person that purchased from him will be valid. But the unfortunate part would be that this person collected the money and he didn't pay for the farmer. So we need to be very careful. It is always advisable to deal with such agents that are straight, upright, taqwa. They have the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in them. A fourth question, is it permissible for the husband to sacrifice an animal on behalf of the wife? In other words, buy the animal on behalf of the wife. Or for example, a father buying the animal on behalf of his adult children on whom qurbani is wajib. Now, in principle, qurbani is, if qurbani is wajib on the wife, she will have to do it. If qurbani is wajib on the adult children, they will have to do it. But if there is an understood consent between the husband and the wife, that the wife would expect the husband to buy the animal on her behalf, or the father to buy the animal on behalf of the children, it's an understood consent, which we call ijazat dalalatan, then that qurbani will be permissible. And in fact, in one way, it's also the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned, Zabaha Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam an-nisa'ihi bi-baqar. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed on behalf of his wives a cow. So, obviously, Nabiya did not take express permission from his wife, but it was understood that he did it on behalf of the wives of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another common practice, especially for those people that are slaughtering cows, and they have shares in cows. Now, after the animal is slaughtered, and now comes the distribution of the meat. So, they distribute the meat in estimation. Say, there are 7 people, we are shareholders in that cow, and now come to share the meat, when we share the meat in estimation. According to Sharia, that is not jais. That meat has to be weighed. And if one person gets more meat than the other, then you took somebody else's haq, or it will be regarded to be kind of riba. So people say, no, I overlook it, that's fine. But from the principal point of view, it is regarded to be riba. You need to weigh the meat and distribute the meat according to that. Another last masla on this. Many people sacrifice the animal in foreign countries, and a commonly asked question is that in some countries the day of Eid is before the day of Eid here in South Africa. For example, it may be that many people send the animal to sacrifice in Middle Eastern countries, in Syria, etc., and their Eid may be one day ahead of us. Now, if we are sending our animal to sacrifice there, and it's not yet Eid here, so will the sacrifice there be valid or not? There are 2 views of the ulama on this. Some ulama consider the place where the animal is going to be sacrificed, and some ulama are of the view that the person that is sacrificing his animal, his place and location is important. Whatever the case may be, 2 views, legitimate arguments on both sides, but we want to take precaution in that. And if you are faced with such a situation, advise your agent on that side that you rather not do it on the first day, do it on the second day, third day, to be sure that the qurbani has been done correctly and appropriately. Lastly, the animal that we are about to sacrifice, choose the best of animals.
we're only going to get ajar and reward for it. Don't fry to spend a few extra rands. It's all our investment for our qabr, all investment for the akhirat. And buy the animal ahead of time and create an affinity, an affiliation kind of with that animal. Hadha Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi. He was a great scholar and he was a Shaykh al-Hadith in Darul Deoband. So on the day of Eid, when you sacrifice that animal, the day immediately after that, he would buy another animal for the following year Eid. And whole year, he would feed the animal himself. He would show love and care to that animal. Just that there was such a bond between him and that animal that from his house, he would walk to Darul Deoband, the Dora Hadith, the final year class to teach Bukhari Sharif. That animal would follow him right up till there. After that, the animal would wait for him. And after teaching, he would come back, that animal would follow him. There was such a close bond between him and the animal. And now, the time comes to sacrifice that animal. So you feel that pain also. And that's the least we could do. Imagine the sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. What he had to put on his chest to sacrifice his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. When you're sacrificing the animal, Allah does not see the flesh of the animal. Allah does not see the blood of the animal. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sees the taqwa inside you. So it is not only the physical practice of sacrificing the animal, we must have the spirit of the qurbani within our hearts, and we must think that this animal has been sacrificed. Think of the background of it, and at the same time think that, you know, that this animal has been sacrificed. It's an animal. I'm a human being. The least I can do is sacrifice my nafs and my desires for the pleasure and the ridwan of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. To seek the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah is the greatest thing. Wa ridwanum min Allahi akbar. The pleasure of Allah is the greatest thing. And this is a dua that we normally make. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaka wal jannah. Oh Allah, we ask of you your ridha. We ask of you your pleasure. Allah, we ask of you jannah and paradise. We make dua. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, grant us tawfiq, strength, ability to exert ourselves in the ibadah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala during these Mubarak days. And all the time we seek the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide us in this masail of qurbani. And we do it in such a way that our qurbani become qabool and maqbool. One is to do it and one is to for it to be accepted. That our focus should not be really doing it. Our focus should be having our qurbani accepted in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.